It's very, very difficult, and everyone who ever comes for confession, that's why people come for confession, because they have to say something that they feel sorry about, and that's a mistake, and that's a passion, that's something like that. If we were to say that, first of all, does anybody want to say anything else? If we were to say that the passions, they are like darkness, what's the darkness? Is the absence of light. So we need to turn on the light for the darkness to disappear. And what is this light? This light is God's love. This light is God's experience. This light is a lot of things. But to get there, I think we need to be aware that we should not panic if there is a problem that we have and we can't get out of it. We should not panic. We should be patient. We should put all our trust in God and ask Him to help us. But it's like little by little we will try to undo the habits that make us have these passions. And I think there was a spiritual person who was praying like that. He was saying, "My Lord, whether I want to or whether I don't want to, please save me." Because sometimes we want our passions more than our salvation at the instant that the devil tempts us. And this is an issue. Of course, we repent after, but this is an issue. So we need to slowly start developing the good habits. And how? We need to be honest with ourselves and know where our thoughts or where our actions will lead us. So if someone has a passion like, let's say, eating a lot of ice cream, if this was a passion, right? If you know that this is a passion, you don't go around a gelato shop and walk up and down having a look. Is it busy? Is it not busy? How much will it be for a scoop or two scoops or maybe a kilo? Because that's metaphorically speaking, but also literally speaking. Because if we go around places and if we go around behaviors that they will lead us to what we want to avoid, well, we will not avoid it. The unavoidable will happen. So we need to be careful. And we need to train ourselves. It doesn't happen overnight, but we need to train ourselves. How do I train myself? By start denying small things that I like. One of them is fasting. Fasting means that I deny something that I might like. But when we say fasting, it's not just food. Food is, although fasting is associated with food most of the times, but food is the last on the list. Because if my eyes, if everything of my senses do not fast, like one of the Athonite fathers were saying, you can eat fish, but don't eat the fishermen. Meaning, if your body needs to eat fish, physically or psychologically, do it. But don't put your brother down. Don't gossip your brother. Don't misjudge your brother. Don't behave to him in a nasty way. Because that's an actual sin. If you know that your limits are such and such, to eat is not a sin. It's what you know that you can handle for now. And of course, we need to train ourselves even on that, but we need to know our limits. So we go back to Nipsey and vigilance, and we have to say that if with Nipsey we practice avoiding the thoughts, the fantasies, and the sources of what will lead us into one passion, then slowly we will end up having a connection with God, which means that we will end up being able to turn on the light. And when we turn on the light and we have an experience with God, then we will be able to understand ourselves better. And even if we keep having addiction, at least we know who we are. And at least we understand what we're doing wrong, and we understand that we're doing it wrong willingly, and we understand that we're doing it willingly because we love ourselves more than God. But to be able to realize all these things, sometimes it takes a spiritual experience to open our eyes and see the way that God would see us. And then we understand who we are. And then when we pray for God to help us, sometimes even if we don't have much Nipsey, He can make some reasons that could make us fall go away. And this is important as well. When we see our brother that he suffers, or our sister that she suffers from something, it could be a passion, it could be an illness, it could be anything, it's very important if we are there for them. If we are there for them, God will also be there for us in a moment of weakness. And believe it or not, there might be their prayers that God might listen to help us snap out of our passions. And it takes time. There is a difference between someone falling once or twice, and there is a difference if someone is falling into this passion again and again and again, because then it becomes an addiction. But regardless, we should not be afraid even of the worst addiction, because we can reverse these things with God's help. Anyone?
I'd like to share my addiction. And it's over an accident and pain that I had a great deal to try and help the pain. And I got to over 155 kilos and the scale stopped working. And I ended up at the obesity clinic at the RPA hospital. They were trialing the hormone when we were teenagers. I had the right tablet. And this went on for a year program. And I lost a very little weight. And it didn't work. And I have a true love for God. And I got into my car and I said, God, what do I do now? I turned on my car radio and it said, food addicts in recovery meetings are believe. And I decided to go to the meeting. It was a 12-step program. I thought it was a cult, because it's the God of your own understanding, not our Lord Jesus Christ. And in that program, I learned God can. You have to let Him. And it's a very strict program. I discovered that I have a problem with wheat flour and sugar, and I can't have enough of it. An empty bag. An empty bag becomes an empty bag. I may even have two. And I'm just so grateful to God's help and the sponsor, and 3 weight and fresh meals a day, nothing in between, and no wheat flour and sugar. And God has given me a solution in the program. And after funny sayings, like I was at a prayer meeting this morning, and after there's a morning tea, about the week, and not just say that therefore you don't want to be. Thank you, God, I've got much coming. And God's power, me asking for it, it's a gift, but we have to work hard at it. It's so easy for me to want to stop needing something that I should need.
Mm.
And it's a day of battle.
Yes, for everyone is different, but if we are honest with ourselves, sooner or later God will find a way out for us. And even if we die trying, He will accept it as if we won, if we honestly try. And He won't judge us in a bad way. So, just by practicing vigilance, this by itself is the way out of these passions. But we can't stop and start vigilance, because if we do, it's like we go backwards and then we make a step forward and then a step back, and we will keep going back and forth.
So, question on that is death and the remembrance of death. And I can see the principle people use to try and live a better life, so when death comes, they're prepared for it. I just have a kind of theology question. If you receive Christ, do you have eternal life? Now, you would not ask, what does receive mean?
Yes.
That you have an abiding in you and so on. But a lot of the people out in Sydney believe that if I believe in Jesus Christ, I will be saved. And then why do I have to think of death and be better all the time when I'm saved already? That's a difficult question. And I don't know the answer.
It depends how you explain that I believe in Christ and I'm saved. If we accept this in the Protestant way, that you need only faith and no works, it doesn't work. Because I can believe in Christ and make 3 abortions. What does this make me? I'm a believer. I believe in Christ and I make 3 abortions. This makes me a killer. And how will I appear in front of Christ? With my faith? All right, I have my faith. But if I sinned, I need to confess. And I need to avoid the sins. So it's not, the Protestant way is the easy way out, but it's not the way up. It's the way to keep being happy. It's not the way to see ourselves. So, of course, if I believe in Christ the proper way, I will be trying as well to be as I should. And then, all this effort that I'm doing, one of the techniques that I could use, it's not that I have to, but one of the techniques that could be helpful for me not to sin and to strengthen my faith, is to understand that life is short. God doesn't abandon us, but we took away something that we didn't have the right to. We took away life. It's pretty serious. I can't just take away your life and say I believe in God, because if I don't love you that I can see, how do I love God who I can't see? That's what the gospel says. So you can't say that you love God and then hate your neighbor or hate your child and abort it. You can't. Because you only love yourself, you don't love God. If you loved God more than yourself, you wouldn't mind if you had to be a single mother, I'm saying. It is what it is. We made a mistake, but we don't make a second mistake by killing a human being. We let it come into the world. And if this is embarrassing, it's embarrassing, but we don't kill someone to protect our ego and our image. Because this is not loving God. This is loving ourselves. And it's the same with everything that we do wrong. So if I love myself, how do I say that I believe in Christ? I believe in me being God. Yes. It's very common. It's very common. Yes, of course, we don't reject anyone, but at the same time, if something is wrong, we have to say that something is wrong. And someone told me something the other day. He said, you know that Earth is just a tiny little bit from our galaxy. You know how many other galaxies there are there? And each one of us is not even a dot on Earth. So who do we think we are? And he's right. Who do we think we are? Why do we think that we are somebody? We are because God gave us the gift of having a soul and we're created in His image and likeness. But if you think about it logically, in the universe, we are nothing. Nothing, nothing. So if we have a big idea for ourselves, we should reconsider it. It's interesting. This idea made me think. It's interesting. Anyone else on that?
You said earlier that when someone is suffering with their passions, it's good to be there for them. But what happens when being there for them doing the Christian thing affects you? You start getting drained by having that interaction.
You have to be careful. You can't give what you don't have. So you need to know your limits. That's why the fathers of the church, they say, if your brother falls into a river, if you want to save him, give your stick, but don't give your hand. If you give your hand, you might not be able to save yourself if he pulls you in. But if you give your stick, if you can't help him, at least you will save yourself. And I don't mean this in a selfish way. I mean this in a wise way. To help someone who's on drugs, you won't go and take drugs to be cool for him because you will lose both souls. If someone is on drugs, you will get them a proper... In a proper setup to help detox themselves. There is no other way. I've tried. It doesn't work. If the person is not willing, it doesn't work. It doesn't work.